Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are recording. So now, let's continue the lessons in Surah Al-Kahf, the cave. So, the boys got caught. How did the boys got caught?
Huh?
Get caught.
Huh? One of them went to the market and then they brought some of the old coins with them and then
the seller who was selling the vegetables noticed
that the money was so old and was trying to take the money from the boys and find out what the others are.
Yes, the seller of groceries, they went to buy food from the market. The seller thought, oh my God, this money is so old. They must have found that buried treasure. So he said, huh? Where is the treasure? Where is the treasure you found? So the guy said, I didn't find any treasure. He said, no, you found the treasure. Where is that treasure? He said, what treasure? I didn't have any treasure. He said, no, you're a liar. And then everybody started gathering. And it becomes like...
a big argument,
right? Yes, very like the attention was brought to him. Even though the original plan was that he sneaks... or he will get attention. The plan was that this guy will what? Sneak.
Sneak, yeah.
Attention. Right? Why sneak? Because? No, because they remember they ran away from something. What was it? Huh?
The king.
The king, right. The king. All right. So we're going to put points on the board to see who answers the most questions.
There's no motivation, so how are you
going to
participate?
Oh, there. I'll send you to the office. All right. So now what happens? They gather the people, and then they started interrogating the guy. So the guy said, we slept for a day. How could the coin change? By that time, which is after 300 years, the bad king was replaced by what? A good king.
Oh, when they slept for 300 years.
Yes. Yes. The bad king was replaced with a good king.
Are you saying bat or bad?
Bad king. The bad king was replaced with a good king. So when the good king went, soldiers went and brought, okay, and actually didn't brought, they went to the cave. They went to where? The cave. And then they were so impressed and wowed and started like crying and saying, oh my God, you slept for 300 years, oh my God. And then everybody started like admiring them so much. At that time, they started aging and dying. They started aging and dying. So the people said, we're going to put a rock. We're going to put a rock on the cave and write the story on it. You know the thing that you put the story of the dead person? You put it.
Oh, the grave, the headstone?
That headstone, yes, the headstone. It's called Raqim. It's called what? Raqim. And this is why those people are called the people of cave and Raqim. The people of cave and Raqib. All right. So now, how is this related to the false deceiving Messiah? Why are we calling this test the test of the false deceiving Messiah? Why?
Yes.
Huh? Bring a normal chair. Bring an old chair and leave this rolling chair. Yes, Zainab? Zainab? Huh? Quiet. Because the boy is what?
The boys had to choose whether or not to leave everything behind and obey the bad.
Yes, they had to choose between either going to a cave that has no nothing, no furniture, no nothing, no food, no drinks, nothing. just the cave.
That they could die.
Yes, or obey the king and treat the kingdom like God on earth.
No.
So they passed the test. They chose to give up their homes, okay, and go to a cave. A cave that has, like, you can't have a life really in a cave. So they passed the test. As a reward for them, Allah made their memories everlasting memories or not?
Yes, everlasting memories.
Everlasting memories. How did Allah make their memories everlasting memories?
Because He wrote the story on the stone.
Because Allah wrote the story in the Quran. What could be more honorable than putting your story on the Quran?
Nothing.
Where people until the day of judgment would worship Allah by reciting your story. Could it be any better than that?
No.
Okay. Now, the second story in the surah. The second story in the surah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Jews wanted to quiz the Prophet. The Jews wanted to quiz the Prophet to make sure he's a prophet. Okay? How the bad guys in Mecca, the kuffar in Mecca, went to the Jews and they told them, you guys have books and knowledge of prophets and things like that. Can you quiz the guy for us? Can you give him a quiz to see if he's truly a prophet or not? So the Jews said yes. They went to the prophet with three questions. How many questions?
Three.
Three questions. The first question was, how many people were in the cave? How many people
two.
Were in the what?
Two.
Cave.
Two.
Hold on. Hold on. How many people were in the cave? Like the people of the cave. How many they are? Three, four, five, six. That was the first question. The second question was, what is the secret? What's the soul? Explain about the soul. You know the soul? Like you're a body and the soul? Like the spirit? Allah breathes like the secret of life. What makes the difference between a living person and a dead person? It's the soul. Right? If we take away the soul from you, then you are called dead. You're called what? Dead. If we leave the soul in you, then you're called alive. So the soul will make a difference is that instead of being dead, you become alive. And instead of being alive, you become
dead.
So important, right? So they asked him, explain to us about the soul. Explain to us about the soul. And the third question was, who was the king who ruled the east and the west? Who was the king that ruled the east and the west? What was his name? And give us like a brief explanation of his story. So what was the answer of the Prophet? The Prophet said, okay, tomorrow inshallah you come. He didn't say inshallah. He said, tomorrow you come, I'll give you the answer. What was the mistake he did here that he did not say? Insha'Allah. If you say you're going to do something tomorrow and you don't say Insha'Allah, technically you're lying. Why? Because you don't know if you're going to be able to do it or not. So, I am going to the school tomorrow, huh? Insha'Allah, right? I am going to pray Isha in the masjid, huh? Insha'Allah. I am going to get a surgery, huh?
Insha'Allah.
Insha'Allah. Now, let me tell you something. Can I say I got the surgery, Insha'Allah?
No.
Why not?
It's
already happened. Yeah. People who are new to Islam, people who are not, people who become took Islam seriously, but they are ignorant, I've seen them say this. Okay. I ate dinner, inshallah. Okay. I played football, inshallah. I prayed in the masjid, inshallah. So, what is the problem here? The problem is that they didn't understand the word, inshallah. But they figured out it's a good word to say, so they keep saying it. And that is ignorance. That's a sign of ignorance. Got it? Okay. Now, so Allah wanted to teach the Prophet a lesson. What was the lesson? Allah did not reveal the answer to the Prophet. Allah did not reveal the answer to the Prophet. Allah didn't tell him the answer because they quizzed him. The answer is supposed to come from where? When they are quizzing him, the answer is supposed to come from where? From Allah or from someone else? Is the knowledge to answer these questions, the knowledge come from who? From Allah or from the Prophet? From Allah. Because the Prophet had no idea about any of these answers, right? So Allah did not reveal the answer. So the Jews came to the Prophet the next day and they said, Muhammad, what is the answer? What is the answer? And then the Prophet said what? The Prophet said, I didn't get the answer. Allah did not reveal the answer to me yet. So now the people said, so when can we come again? He said, inshallah, tomorrow. He didn't say inshallah. He said, tomorrow I'll give you the answer. Then, tomorrow came. Did Allah reveal the answer to the Prophet? No. Why? Because he didn't say, inshallah. So they came tomorrow and there was, Muhammad, what's the answer? The answer was, I don't know. Allah did not answer your questions. So give me more time. And he said, next week, for 30 days, for how many days? 30 days, Allah did not reveal the answer. Why is that? Because he didn't say inshallah. He wanted to teach him a hard lesson. Allah wanted to teach his prophet a good lesson. Got it? So for 30 days he did not give him the answer. And then after 30 days, when he gave him the answer, he said, Don't you dare to do something, to say I'm going to do something in the future. Okay?
Without
saying inshallah. So that was the good lesson. So what was the good lesson?
Don't you dare say anything without inshallah.
Without inshallah. How many days Allah withheld the answer?
30 days.
30 days. Got it? So since that day forward, the Prophet never forgot the word inshallah. Now, what are the answers that were given? How about the number of the people who were in the cave?
Uh-huh.
Everything you heard? Everything you heard, the bad, the kuffar went to the Jews, asking them to quiz the Prophet, because they were the only one who have the knowledge of the book. So they went to the Prophet and gave him three questions. When you write that, I'll give you the questions one by one. Okay, so the first answer. Answer number one. How many people were in the cave? Huh?
Four?
Did Allah answer this question?
No.
No. Perfect. Why not?
He didn't
say inshallah. No. Now he taught him the lesson and he said, don't you dare to say I'm going to do something in the future without saying Allah inshallah. So that's what we're done with. Now Allah did not tell him the number. Allah said something. I'm going to explain to you. Why didn't Allah give him the number? And he said, like, there were five people and the dog was the sixth. Why didn't Allah answer this? Why didn't he give the number?
Because it said inshallah.
We are done with that. We said that he got the lesson and Allah told him you have to say inshallah. But why didn't Allah give him the number?
Because isn't the storyteller. He just gives the moral of the story, not the entire description of the characters.
Takbir, Zainab. I am going to give Zainab a point. Zainab, Ahmed, 1 point. Salim. It's okay. Okay. Are you listening to me?
No.
Are you listening? So let me ask you a question. Why didn't Allah give just the answers? Who can repeat the answer?
Learn the moral of the story.
Exactly. Allah said, these are useless details. Useless details. Who cares how many they wear? Is that the word?
Who was the man of two horns?
Or who was the king of two horns? Huh? What? Oh, that's later. Okay. So,
the Prophet said, come tomorrow, I'll give you the answer. He didn't say, oh, inshallah. So Allah, to teach him a lesson, did not give him the answer.
I'm hungry.
And stayed that way for 30 days. And then Allah gave him the answer. And told him, do not say, I'm going to do something tomorrow. That's inshallah.
All right. So who can repeat again? Why didn't Allah just give the number, Salim? Allah is not a storyteller. Because useless detail. It's called that what? Useless detail. What difference does it make if Allah says there are 5 or 6 or 7? Would it make a difference?
No.
It is a useless detail. It is a what?
Useless detail.
Useless detail. You understand?
Yeah.
So, do Allah care? Do we care about how many they are? No. We care about what they did. The moral of the story. Good job, Zainab.
Sorry.
Exactly. MashaAllah, Sanya. Very good job. MashaAllah.
Can I get a point?
Yes, but Zainab got it already. She got
what's
it right.
For?
Huh?
Is that
like grades. To see who gets the most points.
Did we get a prize from the office?
From the office. Just stop.
Stop.
I know who's Zainab, okay? Sanya.
Yeah.
Okay, now the second question. So, the second question was, what is the soul?
The soul is the part. The soul is the part where it's like the part in your body that
what is
the angel gave to.
What is the nature of the soul? What is it? Like, how does it work?
It works.
If you don't have it, you're dead.
Your soul controls your body.
Yes, yeah. Your soul, exactly.
It controls your emotions and everything.
Exactly, but the question is, what's the nature of the soul? Can you describe?
It can get corrupted easily.
What?
Can you just go ahead?
It wants to get out.
Huh?
It wants to get out of the body.
Yes, it's the secret of life. But what is it? What is it exactly? What do I need? How can I make this cup alive?
You can't. It's haram.
How can I make it alive?
It's haram, Ali.
Yes, if Allah breathes, the soul is coming from Allah. Allah will breathe the soul into the what? Body. So if Allah wants to make this cup, alive, Allah will do what?
He'll breathe it in the soul.
Breathe the soul into it. Allah will what?
Breathe
the soul. Then it becomes talking. Like this Walt Disney Beauty and the Beast. When the cups were talking.
Oh yeah, that was so cute.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That was
Hanzo
and Sonic. They were actually people with souls.
Right. Because they were actually people with souls. Got it?
Do you even know what you're saying?
Raise your left hand. All right. So now he did not still. The answer didn't come. He didn't say, for example, the soul is made of water, and it goes into the body from the ears. And he didn't give the nature of the soul. So the answer came from Allah saying, the soul is from the affairs of. He said, tell them that the soul is from the affairs of my Lord. And you are given very little knowledge. And you know very little. So the answer for the first one is Allah said, the number doesn't matter. The moral is the one that matters. Because Allah is not a storyteller. Okay. So now... Allah said, the soul is from the affairs. Tell them that the soul is from the affairs of my Lord. And you are given very little knowledge.
What?
Don't doodle. All right. Okay. Now, the third question was, who was the man who ruled the East and the West? Zainab? Dhul Qarnayn. Okay. What is the meaning of Qarnayn? Qarn and Qarn is Qarnayn. Who knows the meaning of Qarnayn? The two horns. That's right. The two horns. One horn represented his kingdom in the east, and the other horn represented his kingdom in the west. In the west. You got it? So the crown had two horns. One horn saying, this is my representation of my kingdom in the east. And the one on the left, this is the representation of my kingdom in the west. Now, he was a righteous guy or a bad guy?
Righteous.
Righteous. Huh? Righteous. Yeah, righteous. So he is the opposite of the false deceiving Messiah. He was the opposite of the what? False deceiving Messiah. The total opposite of the false deceiving Messiah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then explained, gave us some information about his story. Story of? Dhul Qarnayn, the guy of the two horns, right? You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, story Dhul Qarnayn, the guy, Sariha.
What?
Sabrina. Sabrina. Okay? So, the guy of the two horns, the guy of the what?
Two
horns. What was the story Allah told? Allah said that he was a superpower. He was a superpower. But he did use his powers to what? Exactly. For good. Is to represent the morals of Allah on earth. To establish the manners of Allah on what? On earth. What are the manners of Allah that he established? Justice, mainly. The most important manner of Allah that is the hardest to establish is?
Justice.
Justice is really very difficult. All right? Justice is not easy achievable. It's very difficult to achieve justice. People have been trying to achieve justice. And, you know, usually only during the times of the prophets, you have a form of good justice, and then it declines. Because people are selfish and greedy and love power and money. So people try to get more power and money than everybody else. Got it? So he established justice on earth. How? Allah said, he will go to the good guys and tell them. Allah said, the Dhul Qarnayn will go to the good guys and tell them what?
He loves them.
You did a good job. Here is a reward. And when you get to Allah, when you meet Allah, you will get the bigger reward. Actually, when you get in this life, it's not called the reward. It's called encouragement, right? So if you do something good and Allah rewards you for it, in this life, like if you donate $1,000 and Allah gives you back $2,000, is that a reward or an encouragement?
Encouragement.
Encouragement. The reward is when?
When you're in Jannah.
In Jannah. When you do something bad and Allah gives you punishment, is this a punishment or Allah is discouraging you?
Discouraging.
Discouraging you. Because the real punishment is where?
Hellfire.
Perfect. MashaAllah. You did very well.
Can I get a point?
Yes. This is Shirin again?
Hamza.
Okay. All right. So now back to the story of Dhul Qarnayn. Then, so the first thing Allah said about him, that he established my justice on earth. He rewards the good doers. And he tells them that when they meet Allah, they will receive the real reward. He punishes the bad guys and tells them, when you meet Allah, you receive the punishment. So he was a mighty. He had two horns. One horn represents his kingdom in the east. The other horn represents his kingdom in the west. He established justice on earth. Okay? And Okay. Now then Allah went further to describe one more thing about Dhul-Qarnayn. Now, first of all, this Dhul-Qarnayn is opposite. How is that related to the false deceiving Messiah? Huh? How is the story of Dhul-Qarnayn is related to the false deceiving Messiah, Taha? Salim. How is this story related to the false deceiving Messiah? Zainab?
Dhul-Qarnayn is the complete opposite of the false deceiving Messiah.
Masha'Allah, Messiah. Masha'Allah, Zainab gets another point.
Messiah,
like... Huh? Yes, what? Yes. You got this part right? You get this part right? This part means that Dhul-Qarnayn is the totally opposite to the false deceiving Messiah. Just complete opposite. The false deceiving Messiah is an evil superpower. Is what?
Evil superpower.
Evil superpower. The Dhul-Qarnayn is a righteous superpower.
So he's good and
righteous
bad.
Superpower.
Yeah,
so then Allah went further and explained the story. What was that story? It's the story of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. You know Ya'juj and Ma'juj? The story, they are the signs of the Day of Judgment. We talked about them before. Okay, remember the story? That when Dhul-Qarnayn arrived to the place where they live, the people over there complained to him that Dhul-Qarnayn come and eat them. Dhul-Qarnayn, I'm sorry, the Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they come and what? Eat them. So they said, can you protect us but some kind of a dam or a barrier? He said, yes, if you help me. They said, we will help you. So he built the dam to them, and he poured copper, because it's slippery on it. So they can't climb it, right? Because if it's a mountain, if it's not smooth, they can climb it. But if it is made of copper, they cannot climb it. They cannot scratch it. You understand that? They could not scratch it and climb it. Where are you here? He represents Allah's justice on earth. He tells the good guys, we will give you a reward. When you go to Allah, you will get the real reward. He tells the bad guys, we will punish you. When you go to Allah, you will get the real punishment. So he was representing the justice of Allah on earth. All right. Okay. All right, guys. Now, okay. Now let's go back and continue the stories in Surah Al-Kahf. Then Allah says the story of the guy who owned the garden. The guy who owned the garden.
Is it the one where he says... Oh, this garden will always be, always, nothing will ever happen to it. But then the other
right.
one. See, I know it. Can I get a point? Can I get a point?
Yes. Hamza?
Yeah.
Okay. Hamza gets a point. Another point. Hamza and Zainab are tying.
The first time.
Okay. The story of the people who, of the guy who owned the garden. What's that story? It's the guy who owned the garden. Allah tells the story in a form of conversation, in a form of a debate, in a form of a what? Debate. Debate between huh? The guy who owned the garden and
his neighbor, the guy who owned another garden.
Yes. No, his friend.
His friend?
His friend, yeah. And then the guy who owned the garden was very rich and powerful. And the guy, his companion was very poor. Was what?
Poor.
His companion wasn't his neighbor.
Oh.
His companion or his friend was very poor. And then they are debated. The rich guy who owns the garden said to the poor guy, look, you are saying you're righteous and you're saying I'm a bad guy. Look at both of us. I got more wealth and more money than you. I got more wealth and more power than you.
He's being arrogant.
Yes. And he's saying, how could you say that Allah loves you and he doesn't love me? How could you say that? Look at me and look at you. You're a slave. I am a master. You're poor. I am needy. I have, you don't have any soldiers. I have a lot of soldiers. I am much better than you. This is the sign that Allah loves me. It's because He gave me all of this, and this is the sign that Allah doesn't like you, because He did not give you any of that. And look to this garden. He had a huge garden. Really, really fancy garden. He said, look, and the garden, by the way, had rivers flowing through the garden. Rivers flowing through the garden. Through the garden. And he said, look at this garden. Look at the beauty of the garden. Look at the fruits that I get from the garden. Look at them.
The vegetables.
Look at them. Look at all of them, Salim.
The vegetables.
Look at all of them. Do you think this will ever go away? Do we? This is an everlasting garden. This is what?
An
everlasting garden. And even when I die and go to my Lord, I am going to get a better garden. You're wearing. Okay.
Yeah.
Then Allah continues the story by saying his story with the Ajuj and Majuj. Okay. So why did he, what logic? What logic, based on what logic that made him say that when I meet Allah, I'm going to get a better garden than that? A garden better than that. Think about it. An arrogant person saying, when I meet Allah, this garden is everlasting. And when I die and go to Allah, He's going to give me even a better garden. On what basis is he saying that?
He thought his garden was an encouragement. Like the current garden was an encouragement.
Yes, but that wouldn't lead him to say, well, Allah will give me a better garden when I die.
He's being arrogant.
He's being arrogant, yes, but on what basis?
He thinks Allah loves him.
That Allah loves him, but on what basis did he say that?
What do you mean, basis?
Yeah. Irfan here got very close to the answer. Is that he said, okay, Allah loves me. And my proof that Allah loves me is the what? Garden. So if he loves me, then he will give me a better garden. Got it?
Yeah.
So that is his logic. He says, Allah loves me. The proof is the garden. That proves that Allah loves me. And when I die, he's going to give me a better garden because he loves me so much. Okay? Now, what his poor friend was debating with him. So what was the response of his poor friend? Any ideas if you are in this position?
He probably said something that was like, this is only in this life. It's not going to be everlasting. It's like only in this life. This is only a test.
Yes, mashallah. I give you a point. Hamza, you're doing very well.
There's no price. Okay. Then... that guy was the total opposite of the false deceiving Messiah. He was a righteous superpower, and the false deceiving Messiah is an evil superpower.
Okay. So where we are? Ya'juj and Ma'juj? Okay, sorry, the people of the two gardens. The people of the garden, or the guy of the garden. And by the way, it's one, not one garden. It is two gardens. Between them, there is a river. So, there's a river flowing. Garden number one is one side. Garden number two is another side. Got it? So, how many gardens?
Two.
Two gardens. So, the guy, his friend said, hey, this garden does not mean that Allah loves you. And this garden is not everlasting. It could go away anytime. Anytime it could go away. Allah could...
make
who gave you this garden?
Allah.
Allah. Who can take away this garden from you?
Allah.
Allah. He gave it to you and He can take it away from you. Okay? So it is... is it like... it's not a sign that He loves you, but it's a test of submission. How is a garden being a test of submission?
If you...
go ahead, Ashman.
To see if you're thankful or ignorant.
Yes, mashallah. To see... so when Allah gives you money... how is this money being a test, Zainab?
If you're going to
be thankful about it or not. How do you become...
for good or bad.
Yes. How do you become thankful about the garden, Erfan?
You make
a part.
Yes. No, no. How are you? How can you be thankful about a garden?
You make sugar and you take care of it. And then, yeah.
No. First of all, you recognize that it's a gift from Allah. It's a gift from who?
Allah.
It's a favor from Allah. You recognize it's favor from Allah. Second is you give zakah. You give what?
Zakah.
Zakah.
You take
so
the fruit.
So this guy did not do either. Neither did he give zakah to the poor and needy, nor he recognized that this is a gift from Allah. He said, this is beyond my own, and Allah loves me. Okay. Then we move to the next story, which is the story of the guy who owned the two gardens and was debating with his friend. So his friend said, yeah, that's his friend. And then his friend said, May Allah destroy your gardens. May Allah destroy your gardens. And may Allah give me better gardens in the Jannah. And may Allah give me better gardens in the Jannah. All right?
And it actually happened.
What happened? Allah, he's in... One time he got the... Go ahead.
Yeah, Allah made a terrible storm come and destroyed the garden, and an even better garden came to his friend, and then the rich guy was so upset by it.
Right. The Allah made a storm. The storm destroyed the garden. And no, the poor guy did not get a garden... In this life, Allah will replace him a garden, and will give him a garden in the day of judgment.
Wasn't it a storm?
Now, so Allah destroyed his garden as a punishment for him. Okay, now let me ask you a question. Then he become what? Sorry or proud?
Sorry.
He became very sorry, not proud anymore. He was proud and he became sorry. So now, let's move to the next question, which is, how is that story related to the false deceiving Messiah?
Because
raise your hand.
The guy who was arrogant is like the false deceiving Messiah, and the poor person who didn't have anything is related to the Dhulqarnayn.
No. He had his hand raised.
You're coming close.
They both like try to sabotage the other, like the rich guy. He was arrogant and he was kind of misleading the poor guy,
you know?
Saying that I'll go to Jannah and you won't, and the Messiah were also deceiving people.
Okay.
So it was basically another test of submission, whether or not he would praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognize was a favor and give zakat, or if he would follow the false deceiving Messiah. He would be arrogant about his garden,
Messiah,
and not praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes. Okay. Add? Anybody wants to add? Not yet. Anybody wants to add? Okay. The answer is, all of what you said is right. I'll just summarize it. The answer was that the false deceiving Messiah deceives people using what? Wealth and power. So the false deceiving Messiah says, I am God, I own everything. So the false deceiving Messiah is deceives people by his wealth and power, right? Got it? Just like this guy. And the false deceiving Messiah is thankful about wealth and power, or being arrogant about them?
Arrogant.
Being arrogant about them. Good. Okay. Now, the third story, or not the third story, one, two, three, four. The fourth story is the story of Musa and his companions. This is really, really, really interesting story. You really would like it. Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he said to Allah, Ya Allah, you taught me everything. Is there anybody on earth knows more than me? Huh? So he was so proud of what Allah gave to him. And he was asking Allah, is there anybody who knows more than me? No, no, on earth. Is there any human being on earth who knows more than me? Allah said, yes. He said, Ya Allah, tell me about him. Let me meet him and learn from him. Got it?
Yeah.
So Prophet Musa asked Allah, Ya Allah.
I remember this story, but I don't remember the Surah Al-Kahf. So and then the man does three acts, and then Musa gets upset with him because
Let's hold on there. So you don't want to upset the because the stories are very interesting. So Allah told Prophet Musa, take a fish, take a what? A dead fish. Walk by the beach of the by the shoreline of the ocean or of the sea. Okay? When the fish becomes alive and jumps in the water, at this place you will find a guy. This guy is the one that you want to meet to learn from. So how does so what happened now? Allah told Prophet Musa, how can you find this guy who knows more than you?
Oh, you take the dead fish, you walk on the shoreline, and then when it jumps into the water, that's the guy.
Perfect. That's the guy. The guy will be there. The guy will be there. So Prophet Musa took his... Prophet Musa took his servant, and then they started traveling on the shoreline, Salim. They started traveling on the shoreline. And guess... when they start traveling on the shoreline, what happened?
The fish.
They will wait and then eat their dinner, check on the fish, and keep going. Then they go back and they eat, and then they check on the fish, and they keep going. So one time they were near the rock, near a rock, a big rock. And then they sat at this rock, and they brought their food and they ate, but they did not check on the fish. So now after this, they started traveling again. And when it was time to rest, they remembered the fish. They looked for the fish and they found that the fish is what? Gone. So Prophet Musa told his servant, when do you think the fish became alive and jumped into the water? He said, probably at the rock. Probably at the rock. The way, the place we rested the last time.
This time.
What's it?
11.
11?
Everyone's out. Why can't we go?
Yeah.
11 what?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll see you, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.